he said it because of his wet blanket energy. Unhinged.
Hello and welcome to She's All Batch. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jackie.
And we don't care if you're here for the right reasons. Honestly, we're just happy that you're here.
Yes. So come join us as we talk shit about our favorite show. All right, guys, let's creep.
Okay, so you know how last week we said that there was rumors that Jason Tardik was dating Kat Stickler from TikTok? So this week, I can pretty much confirm that they are at least hanging out, because if not, they're trolling people on Instagram. So each of them did an Ask Me Anything, and each of them were asked the exact same question, how's the dating life, which I thought was very specific that it's the exact same question, not like
with the exact same wording too, like how's the dating life. I don't think that's something that naturally rolls off the tongue for every single person.
Right. So they both are asked the same question and they both have the same exact answer. So here is Jason's answer.
Dating life is wild. It's wild. I get why there's so many successful shows on dating in 2024.
I think that's a weird answer.
Yeah, I don't even know what it means. Like, huh? Dating's wild, but also dating shows? Like,
but also, like, you understand why there's so many dating shows. Okay, cool.
Right. Like, Jason, how does that apply to you specifically? Yeah. Like, he didn't really answer the question.
Sometimes the stuff that comes out of his mouth makes me perplexed, but I digress. Here is what Kat said, which makes me confirmed that they're doing this on purpose.
Okay, let me hear.
Guys, dating life is wild. Like, I get why there's so many successful dating shows in 2024. I personally have been loving The Bachelor. It's such a good show. Who knew? And yeah.
Okay, so they're dating. Or at the very least, they're fucking.
Right. I would say probably all of the above, but...
Well, all right. There you have it. Whatever happened to a normal hard launch, though? Or a soft launch? Like, what is this weird cryptic, like...
Does this count as a soft launch? Because it's kind of soft. It's giving soft.
It's giving medium, I think. It's between soft and hard, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, her adding on, like, especially The Bachelor. Like, she knows what she's doing. It's cute. But, like, come out. Come out wherever you are. We want to see you guys as a couple now.
Yeah. And maybe they still don't really know quite exactly like what they're doing, but they're hanging out and having a good time. I just want to know like the behind the scenes of like, do you think they were together and they both got from the same person? How's the dating life? Or did they say, oh, there's a lot of rumors about us dating. Let's type this into each other's own question boxes and then just pre-plan our response so that people will like calm down and then we'll kind of confirm it without really confirming it.
Yeah.
Like, did they plant this question in both of their boxes?
Given that it's written the same way, yes.
Yeah.
I think this question could have been asked in a million different ways, but the exact wording is what did it for me. Yeah. I also don't know if everyone realizes that, like, pretty much everyone that doesn't ask me anything stages some questions.
Yeah.
I mean, Ashley Iaconetti told us that she does it. She knows plenty of people that do it. So it's not the craziest thing in the world to think that they did it. They could have done it to each other. They could have done it to their own. You could literally ask yourself a question.
So, I mean, good for them. I'm glad that Jason seems happy and is moving on. I think it's great. It's just a silly little... It's like, at this point, just say you're dating. Like, really hard launch. Like, put a photo on the grid.
Yeah. Enough of this tease. I can't take it anymore. It's been 1 week, and I'm like, come on! Let's move it!
Move it along now, people.
Jason's not the only one moving on. As we know, Caitlin and Zach have been low-key hanging out, and now Blake Moynes is confirming that. So we're just getting confirmations. So Blake was on the Almost Famous podcast and said... Do I know they are hanging out and have been? Yes. But he does not give me the guts because when I have asked, he makes it awkward. He doesn't want to feed and play into that. He's all business.
What does he mean about the guts?
I don't know what guts means. Could this be a typo? This is Us Weekly's recap of Almost Famous's interview with Blake. The guts? He does not give me the guts. Do they mean like the juice? He doesn't give me the juice.
Why would he need the juice? What does that even mean?
I need juice. People need juice.
He doesn't give me the guts. That's what he said.
That doesn't make sense.
Or like the guts to like.
He doesn't have the guts to tell me.
Right. To tell him that it's for real or like give Blake the guts to like expose them. Who has the guts here?
Who has the guts? I need to know.
Who has the juice?
Regardless of who is the owner of said guts, it is clear that Zach is being nonchalant and he's quote unquote protecting that part of his life. Blake says he makes it awkward to talk about, so we just don't really talk about it. Yeah. But the fact that Blake starts off by saying, do I know they're hanging out and have been? Yes. I mean, I think that's soft launch as well, no?
I think the Jason and Kat one is medium. This one, though, like, this isn't coming from Zach or Caitlin. This is just Blake right. kind of confirming that they're hanging out. So that's not really Caitlin or Zach launching anything. So they're still right. pre-soft, for sure.
Limp dick, if you will.
Oh, see, I was thinking more eggs. I was like, you know, my head immediately
goes elsewhere.
Hard-boiled, poached. Like, what are we doing right. with this relationship?
Got it. Okay. Well, I think they're soft-boiled eggs for now.
Yeah, I would agree.
Or are they just, like, not even – they haven't even been cracked? I think Caitlin and Zach are just, like, eggs in the carton.
Eggs in the carton in the refrigerator, yeah.
Jason and Kat are
– soft-boiled or poached even, some might
yeah.
say.
Yeah, sunny side up maybe. Mm. I don't know. All right, well, moving on. So Daisy shared a TikTok from the episode where Maria gets eliminated and Joey narrows it down to the final three. They do their, like, cheers that they do every single episode, mm-hmm. but she shares the behind the scenes of it. So, like, it seems as though the video is being filmed by a producer and mm-hmm. you hear, a director or a producer say, all right, and action. And they all cheers and they say, to love. And they're like, okay, and down. And then they all put their glasses down. And people wow. are kind of freaking out about how staged it actually really is. And maybe this will open people's eyes to the fact that this is a TV show. And there are plenty of things that they have to shoot more than once.
I'm surprised Daisy's like allowed to be doing this.
That's what I think. That's odd, right?
It's giving she's not The Bachelorette. You know what I mean?
Oh, you think?
Well, because I just think, like, if she was The Bachelorette, then she wouldn't be doing things like this to, like, fully expose the edit of the show because she'd still be under ABC's thumb. It's giving, you thought about giving me The Bachelorette, but then you gave it to someone else and I don't care anymore. So I'm just going to say whatever the fuck I want to say.
Ooh. Oh, I posted a fake promo of Maria being The Bachelorette. Yeah. I thought it was really cute. It's obviously very amateur. I did it on Canva, but I am so surprised by the amount of people that are saying they don't want that to happen. A part of me feels like just every single person that dislikes Maria comes out of the woodworks to like write on that comment section, because I do think the majority of people do want Maria.
Yeah.
And I don't know how my post is attracting every single person that does not.
Well, because it's like, if you're someone who doesn't like Maria, you're going to be the one who wants to comment on something like that.
Yeah.
Not Maria. Whereas, like, if you like Maria, you're going to look at that and be like, yay. And then move on right. with your life. Only the diehard not liking Maria people will be so inclined to leave a comment.
True. Yes.
But I don't understand how anyone could be anti-Maria. Like, I think she would be such a refreshing breath of fresh air as The Bachelorette. Like, what's not to like? She's fun. She's charismatic. She's beautiful. What's the problem?
I don't know. All right. Moving on. I want to talk about the Traitors finale, yes. aka the best television I've seen in a really, really long time.
Isn't it so good? I love Traitors so much.
But I mean, the show in general is so good, but that finale of season two is top notch, next level. Like, I was laying in bed and I shot up out of bed. We're going to go into spoilers if you haven't heard it yet. It's out there. It's been out there for a week.
Yeah.
When Trishelle writes CT's name down.
Know.
Well, first, when Kate, so it's the final four, and they all can vote whether or not they're going to keep the money or if banish again.
Yeah.
And Kate's the only one that says everyone keep the money. It's like, Kate,
I texted you about this too. I'm like, that's the most obvious telltale sign that you're a traitor. And I think MJ even said it. She was like, there literally was a murder. There has to be a traitor. Like, that's so stupid.
Right. And only one person didn't want to banish again. It just, she wasn't, you could tell she was nervous in that moment.
Yeah. And I think she kind of touched on this in the reunion too, that like, she was like, I just didn't want to like lie to my friends anymore. I don't think Kate is cut out to be a traitor. Like she, I think really, first off, was forced against her will to become a traitor. And then I think she really felt uncomfortable with the fact that she had to keep lying and making up all these things. I could see how that's hard when you come in as a faithful and you're like, you have a bond with everyone and then you have to turn on them.
Was she forced against her will? Was she the traitor that it was either be a traitor or
die? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So after they banish Kate, then I thought it was so interesting because so it's like, then it's the three of them, MJ, Trishelle, and CT. And at that point in time, did you catch this? CT winks at Trishelle. And so I'm like, oh, they're going to Bonnie and Clyde this and both vote out MJ, because they both voted to like keep banishing while MJ voted to end the game. And the fact that I thought that was going to be like the big surprise and MJ like, you know, leaving. But then the fact that Trishelle turned around and said CT, jaw on the floor.
I can't believe that CT was, like, I thought after she did that, then they all had to vote again, which is hilarious. So they all vote again. In my head, if I were CT, I'd be like, well, I know MJ is going to vote Trishelle. I should vote Trishelle now.
Yeah.
And then, like, he would have won and split it with MJ, but, like, he was able to put that aside. I was just surprised. Like, that to me seemed like the ultimate betrayal for what she did.
I agree.
And then I love that he goes, can we do this again for real this time? And, like, looks at her like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Like, get it together. We're about to win.
Well, and also, I don't know if I believe that, like, Trishelle genuinely thought CT was a traitor, because then in what did he say in those 30 seconds before you voted again to change your mind? Like, I don't know. And I was talking to a friend about this, and they were saying, like, what MJ should have done once Trishelle was like, no, I still suspect CT, MJ should have doubled down and been like, yeah, CT is a traitor. Like, let's banish him. And, like, kind of, like, fueled that narrative a little bit more. But MJ, I think, was just so shocked and, quite frankly, is just not good at this game that she just didn't do anything. She froze and then, unfortunately, got kicked out. But that's what she should have done. If she sees a little crack there, been like, yeah, he is a traitor because he said this one thing to me and blah, 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 and then get him out.
Totally. Oh, I also think that there may be people that both seasons, season one and two, that they make it seem like they still think there's a traitor in the mix, but in reality, they just want to eliminate more people because then they make more money. Like, I don't think that Trishelle or CT thought MJ was a traitor, but they knew by eliminating her, they get more of the pot.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on the way MJ was still so pissed and taking it so personally all the way to the reunion?
Yeah.
I thought that was like a bit much. It's like, girl, it's a game. Like, you signed up to play the game Traitors. Unfortunately, that means you have to be a traitor and betray people.
But I think the same goes for Dan and Phaedra, though. I actually felt like Phaedra should have been a little nicer to Dan. Dan, like, said, like, we're in this game. I have nothing against you personally, but I was playing a game. And she's like, no, I don't think he's a good person. And she totally, they're not going to be friends.
No, I know. I agree with that, too.
So I think it's similar.
And it is interesting. I think Andy called this out, that, like, Phaedra and MJ come from shows that are, like, not game shows. They're, like, just docu-style, I don't know, what would you call Housewives? I wanted to say like a chat show, reality, but it's not shows. Really a chat show. Yeah, but like a Survivor or Big Brother is also a reality show, but it's a reality like game competition show, whereas like Housewives is just a normal reality show. I guess, yeah, call it a normal reality show. And I do think it's interesting that those are the people that are taking this like so personally and are like not understanding that like it's a game. Also, I just don't think MJ was very good. Like somehow the way MJ made it to the end is like shocking to me because I think she just like slid her way through the whole time, like passively. I don't think she really actively did anything to like win the game.
I don't really even, I didn't know her name until a recent episode. Yeah. She very much was flying under the radar. I liked the reunion that we low key, another soft launch of Peter and Ek and Sue. I think it's very clear that they are at the very least hooking up.
Yeah.
They're seated together at the reunion. They're asked about the relationship. Peter says they're very good friends. Peter doesn't have very good friends.
No. Mm-mm. Besides, I don't know. I'm like, who's someone he's friends with? Besides Sweetnums. Yeah. And Sweetnums was hanging out with Ek and Sue getting lunch. Right. And it's like, why would those two people be getting lunch?
No, nothing adds up. It's funny. I do think that's equivalent to the Caitlin and Zach and Jason and Kat soft launches that we have going on here. I would say Peter and Ek and Sue are a hard-boiled egg even. I think they're a little further along.
I agree with that assessment.
And we learned that they're coming back for season three.
I know.
I stand by the fact that Peter should go back. I think he should be original cast, go back and say, I'm back for a second shot. I feel like I deserve to be here.
I know. I want to have like Traitors All-Stars now, like some of like the best people, put all of them together. And
so can't you see Hannah Brown doing this show and doing it well? Because she does these types of competition shows.
Yeah, I guess. You think she would be good at like a round table? She'd be at the physical competition stuff for sure, because she won Special Forces. I don't know. I don't know if I see her like being able to like call out and like nitpick behavior and stuff. But also I didn't see Peter being good at that. And he was incredibly good. So I don't know. The Bachelor people are always surprising because Ari also surprisingly did very well in Traitors. Till the end there. spoiler alert for season one.
I think for season three, they should bring back more than one Bachelor person, though. Because mm-hmm. now looking at the reunion, they're like, oh, we have this many housewives. We have this many people from MTV, yeah. this many people from Survivor. And then Peter is the sole Bachelor person and yeah. Ari was the sole Bachelor. Why not have like three?
Right.
Have them be something. Like, I feel like there should be more in the mix here.
Mm-hmm. I want to see Ben Higgins on Traitors.
They wouldn't make him really be a trainer. He would be like the diehard faithful. He would be like a Peter pal.
Yeah.
Someone that like wrangles together all the good people.
Yeah.
I feel like he would be good though.
I think
he would
so.
Be someone that like everyone trusts, which is exactly. a good person on the show. Okay, so moving on, Jackie actually has a really cool announcement. We were approached by this company that does group traveling. Olivia Caridi actually does this, and we've yeah. talked about it. I think at Thoughts Fest, we were talking with her about it, but it's called Tova Trip, and Jackie is going to potentially host like a vacation, like an international trip.
Yeah. I think Olivia was even promoting it when she was our like guest at Thoughts Fest. She was like about yeah. to go to Japan with Tova Trip and was kind of really talking it up and what a great experience it was for her. She's done a couple of trips with them. I love traveling so much, but I think like as a single person, it's sometimes hard to like wrangle up friends to go on the types of trips that you want to go on because everyone has like a different idea of where they want to go. Everyone has a different budget. I tried to just organize a long weekend trip like within the United States for my birthday last year. And it's like it's pulling teeth. And then when it's time to book, no one wants to book. And it's just like then you have to Venmo everyone for the money. It's just like such a headache and a nightmare. But I want to travel and I love traveling. And so I think this is like a great way to go with a group of people who all kind of want to do similar types of things. The trip is all planned out for you, which I think is really great, especially for some of these bigger international destinations that I find more intimidating if I don't know the language and I don't really quite know like where to go specifically, but I want to go and I want to explore. So if this is something that you guys would be interested in doing with me, there's going to be a link in our episode description and I'll post it on Instagram and in our Facebook group and stuff. Basically, all you have to do is fill out this like survey link and be like, oh yeah, this is something I would be interested in doing. And it'll ask you questions like, where would you be interested in traveling to? Like, what would you be interested in doing like activity-wise when you're there? And then once we collect enough data, we'll decide like where we're gonna go and when. So also doing the survey doesn't mean you're signing up for any trip or anything. It's just kind of to gauge interest in our audience, the FOTS, to see, you know, what type of thing we should do. But when they approached me, I was really interested in it. I think it would be a really fun opportunity to go with like-minded FOTS who just like want to travel and do fun things. So if this sounds interesting to you, fill out the little survey and then I will come forward with next steps once I know. I'll keep you posted.
Cool.
I think it'll be so fun. I was trying to convince Stephanie to go, guys, but she obviously can't because she has a young child at home.
Right. But I understand like the need for something like this. Like if you're in this stage of life and you don't have something holding you back from leaving the country, it's such a fucking cool place to be in. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have people that want to go to the same places or have the same view on traveling as you do, it could be really hard. Like I know if I were ever going to, especially another country, the one main thing would be like, well, how do I know if the places that I'm booking are even places that are good? Unless you go with someone that knows or what they're doing or can give advice, it could be really, really intimidating. And then you ultimately just don't go. But in this case, it's a really cool opportunity. So I will be sitting this out. I'm sure there would be moms that want to do it, but I'm sure there are also moms that can understand where I'm coming from, that I can't leave the country without my son. But I totally support this. And I hope that we can get some FOTS on board and Jackie can be a phenomenal host for them.
Yeah.
And you get to hang out with Jackie the whole time.
I will say I'm a fun traveler. Like I was talking to the lady, like she was like, oh, so like what types of activities are you like into? And I'm like, I'm pretty down for anything. Like I'll try any food. I'll go hike any place or like, you know, I love like looking at architecture and like exploring different cities, talking to local people. So I'm a fun gal to travel.
Oh my God.
With.
You're like on The Bachelor when you go and meet the locals.
That will be, guys, we could go on that date where you just walk around the town and talk to the locals every single day for like a week.
Right. And then you go into like the gift shop and you try on the random hats and you make silly faces to each other.
See, that could be us, guys.
Why is that a staple in every single Bachelor date? They always go into a gift shop and put on hats. Every time.
Because they're running out of budget and they're like, we need something else for the date that's just going to be easy and inexpensive. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's so silly.
Okay, so my son is 3 years old and is such a picky eater. But when I tell you that Little Spoon has taken the drama out of mealtime for me, I truly do mean it. Little Spoon delivers fresh, healthy meals and snacks to your door, and your kid will love them for every single eating stage. So they have like everything from infants to big kids, anything that your kid would need along the way, including like purees for babies to full-blown meals for bigger kids. So they have really cool meals. My son likes the chicken super nuggets, so it's chicken and vegetable patties in panko breading with sweet potato, carrot poppers, and broccoli.
Yum, that sounds good. Like, I would eat that, honestly.
They also have pancake puffs with hidden veggie chicken maple sausage and roasted sweet potato.
I'm loving this hidden veggie vibe.
Right. No, that's
like honestly, I need that for myself.
I know. And with my son, he truly refuses to eat vegetables. So a lot of the meals in Little Spoon have a lot of those hidden things, which is really great. And what's awesome is, like I said, it comes to my door. So I could like place my order and then not have to think about it. And when he comes home from school, have a meal ready for him to go instead of the drama that would ensue otherwise. So if you want to simplify your kids' mealtime, you can get 30% off your first order. Make sure to use our code. You can go to littlespoon.com/shesallbatch. Enter our code shesallbatch at checkout and get 30% off your first Little Spoon order. Make mealtime a little easier with Little Spoon. That's littlespoon.com/shesallbatch. Characters.
What's the song today?
I don't know.
What's the song with time? Or time goes by so slowly. Time goes by. It's a Madonna song.
I don't know it.
Really?
Sing it.
I just sang
time
it. Every little thing that you say or do, I'm hung up. I think that's it. Only says time in the beginning, so I think we need a different one. Okay.
Time after time.
Ooh, every song that has time in it. You're such an encyclopedia for this.
I seriously am. All right, well, it is time for Bachelor Encounters, and the song this week is
The Second Hand Unwind. If you're not.
And Bachelor Encounters is when you guys submit your stories of meeting Bachelor Nation in the wild. We read about those stories on air. And what do you think?
I think they're a good time. What would you think?
It's always a good time when it's time for Bachelor Encounters.
When it's time. Only when it's time. If it's not time, it's not a good time.
Ain't that the truth? Okay. This first person writes, "Hi, I have two encounters. One was years ago. I keep meaning to write in about, and another was recent. First was Nick. Ugh. I was out like 8 or 9 years ago at a popular bar in Chicago. By the way, the ugh was in the story. That was not my reaction to it. We saw him at a bar and I was like, oh my God, it's Nick from The Bachelor. I was the only one in my group who cared. So I was like, F it. And I went up to him and said, hi. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I probably said, are you from The Bachelor? I love that show. He was not nice. He was so rude and wanted nothing to do with interacting with me or anyone else around him. He seemed to be in his own world and came off very stuck up. That's the end of that encounter.
Well, classic Nick.
I think he's probably mad that you're saying, like, are you from The Bachelor instead of, like, weren't you The Bachelor?
He
thinks he's, like, way above. Like, remember when he said that, like, when there were people coming up to him when he was first starting dating Natalie, and she's like, why do people come up to you on the street? And he's like, oh, I have a podcast. Like, I think he would prefer to be known for his podcast now than being The Bachelor, but...
Oh, well, yeah, for sure. He's definitely been leaning into, like, the rebrand and the rebrand of Vile Files and everything. This just, like, is such interesting timing to get this encounter right on the heels of that story that Dave covered about Nick just once again thinking he's so much better than all these other podcasts. And it's just like, ew, he's always had this attitude about him that he thinks he's better than everyone else.
Yeah, I purposely didn't make that story a creep because, like, fuck off.
Yeah.
But if we're going to talk about it, Nick basically addressed Bachelor fan podcasts once again. He catches himself and takes back the fan part and just says Bachelor podcast, but you could see what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
And he said that all the podcasts have one thing in common and that they all hate him because... I'm not even going to say we, because this is not us, but people have tried to get on his show, and once he denies them, that's when the tides turn, which I think is so unaware of how you are perceived by other people. Like, how, while talking about why people dislike you, do you hit the nail on the head with your attitude about it? It has nothing to do with the fact that you're denying people going on your show. You are genuinely just not a kind person a lot of times. And it seems like unless someone's famous, you don't think they're worth value.
No, it's true. I mean, a perfect example of this is that he edited out Dave's name from his podcast when they were talking about something that Dave had covered, which is just like, dude, why? Like, you don't think Dave deserves some recognition if you're going to be talking about a story that was directly related to his podcast?
Yeah, which brings me to another thing he said, that quote unquote all Bachelor podcasts talk about his show a lot. Mm-hmm. And to that, I'll say, number one, fine, fuck off. We won't talk about you. But number two, you're putting out relevant content.
Yeah.
Why is it a bad thing that you're being covered? You're fine to be covered in Us Weekly and People and all the other media, but it's like, again, the sense of entitlement. Why isn't it like, wow, that's wonderful. I'm getting so much coverage from all of these people that also cover the show. I'm clearly doing a good job. If you were not putting out interesting content that was worth talking about, people wouldn't cover it. So essentially, it's a good thing. So to complain about it,
right,
it's just the weirdest thing to me.
Also, all podcasts cover what all other podcasts are talking about. Like, we're covering, like, Dave covers our stuff, Game of Roses covers our stuff. Like, it's just, if we're going to interview people from the show and there's like relevant information in there to like the topics that these other podcasts cover, of course they're going to talk about it. We're in a world where podcasts are news outlets in a way. And so it's like, all right, if something's going to happen on Nick's podcast that's relevant to Bachelor Nation, of course we're going to talk about it.
Or if you're literally interviewing someone from Bachelor Nation. Right. And they talk about something that's interesting for the show. There's just
In the same way that, like, if Dave covered someone and then, like, we would talk about it too. Like, Nick, you're not that special. We talk about, like, what everyone's doing.
All that to say, I'm not surprised he was unkind to you. I've said this before. Like, I don't hate him. I think he's doing a really good job at what he's doing. But I think it's comments like this that make me not a huge fan of you. I don't think you're the nicest person.
Agreed.
But...
right. But at the end of the day, Nick, it's not that deep. Like, we're not.
It's not that deep.
We're not like losing sleep over you and what you're saying. It's just like not that serious.
But wouldn't you bet anything that if someone ever brought us up to him, he would pretend like he doesn't know who we are?
100%. Yeah.
He would never give us that respect that he knows who we are. However, what I thought was interesting is by him saying, oh, all these podcasts, he actually said a percentage. He's like, it's from 10% to like 60% or whatever of these podcasts content covers is me. It's like my show. And I wanted to say, like, wow, it seems like you know a lot about what the other podcasts are covering. Maybe you're a fan, Nick. Like, how do you know that unless you were seeking it out? At the very least, you see the socials.
For sure. He has
to. So there's no way that you don't know.
Part of his space too. It's like, if he wants to continue being a incredibly relevant Bachelor podcast, he has to know what the other less relevant Bachelor podcasts are doing. And I say less relevant, like, tongue in cheek, because I don't think we're less relevant.
Of course, I just
think we're like doing different things.
In the video that Dave posted on YouTube, because he and I were texting about it, and he's like, can I share this? And I was like, I assumed you were going to share it anyway when I was texting it to you. Mm-hmm. So he shared one of my text messages, and something I said was, it is funny, like, Nick interviews a reality star, totally fine, successful podcast doing an interview. We interview a reality star, we're a fan podcast who interviews washed up reality stars. He recaps The Bachelor. He's a successful podcast that just happens to cover The Bachelor. We recap The Bachelor, we're fans.
Right.
It's just
so silly.
You do realize you're doing the same thing as us. You just have different privileges that we did not get.
Correct.
That's it.
100%.
And I don't think this man will ever look at the man in the mirror.
So true. Sing it, Michael Jackson.
I'm talking with the man in the mirror.
Does your husband still think that Justin Timberlake is the Michael Jackson of our generation?
No, but he doesn't even listen to the show, but I'm like, dude, I bring you up all the time. You need to start listening.
Yeah.
You're like low-key adjacent. Like, you're relevant.
Right. He's
community.
Part of the She's All Batch universe, cinematic universe. He's a character.
Speaking about She's All Batch universe, I really do want to come out with the Touchgrass merch. I think the front should say Touchgrass and the back should say it's not that serious. And I actually had a vision, but I'm not a good designer, but let me know. But like, you know that font that we've liked, that it's like, you know what I'm talking about. On the back, it's like the trendy font and it's like.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
I think that would look good.
That's coming soon. Okay. This person actually submitted two encounters. The second one is about Anna. Why am I blanking on her last name?
Anna Redmond?
Yes, Anna Redman. Second, there's Anna from Matt James's season, much nicer of a human. I went to an event she hosted at a Peloton store in Chicago, and she couldn't have been nicer. She talked to everyone there. It was so kind and welcoming. We did a vision board activity, and she came over to every table. She took photos with whoever wanted one. Anna was so fun to talk to, and we asked her about her studio she opened in Chicago. It's really cool, and she seems like she's doing well. Wow, that's she opened a Peloton studio?
No, not that's a Peloton cool. studio, oh. A content creator studio in Chicago. Oh. It's called It's called Subtle House. I don't really quite get exactly what the business model is. My guess slash understanding is it's called Subtle House, and it's like a membership thing that if you're like a content creator or like a TikToker or whatever, you pay for a membership to Subtle House, and then you can like go there to work. And it's like a place where you can go and like shoot content all day. And like, I'm sure it's a place that has like a lot of cool backdrops and a lot of like things that would make your content look better than if you were just working at home, like ring lights and, you know, all the studio things. Yeah. So it's like WeWork meets Soho House for content creators is kind of
interesting
what I am understanding it as. And I'm like, yeah, open one in New York and I would join 100%.
Seriously. What I always wonder in stuff like that is what if someone's next to you doing like a TikTok live and you're like, shut up, I'm trying to make a reel over here. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, I don't know exactly if like what the layout is, or maybe there's like little rooms that like you can go in for, and everyone has like a little soundproof space where they can work in different kinds of studios that you can like book, like you could book like conference rooms at work or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's a really cool idea, and nothing like that really exists. So the fact that she's kind of like creating this whole thing, I think is amazing. It's called Subtle House. Yeah.
You know, the photos of me and Jackie with the FOTS merch when we did the initial launch of FOTS merch, that was done at a content house though, right?
It was.
Is that what it was called? Like, that wasn't anyone's room that we were in, that bed. And like, we wanted to give it like slumber party vibes. And there happened to be a room in the house that was perfect. Jackie's not really sipping tea. We're just giving the behind the scenes of those pictures.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of like that, but I think it's a little bit more like studio space and things. And then I think the benefit of going to a place like that too is like you can collab with people, because everyone who's also going in there, you know, it's like making office space for content creators that all clearly work at home. But it's nice to get out of the house. Yeah.
And I'm happy she was nice to you. Mm-hmm. She seems like a nice gal. This next one we have is about Hunter. Hunter, do you remember Hunter?
Hunter Montgomery. She was on the podcast.
No. Hunter Montgomery from Katie season. It's a guy.
Oh, just kidding. I was like the girl Hunter from Paradise we had on the podcast, but not the boy version of Hunter.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
No. Hunter Katie season. Oh, yeah. I know him.
Okay. So this person writes, love the pod, but I've always been so jealous of all the cool people who have had these fun bachelor encounters. Well, now I finally have one. I'm in Vegas for my company's sales kickoff. I wonder if Greer is there. There are 5,000 of us here. This morning, while cramped in an elevator heading to breakfast, I was watching Joey's hometown episode on my phone when the guy next to me asks if I was catching up on The Bachelor. Not looking up, I asked if he watched, and he said, I was on it. I look up to see Hunter Montgomery from Katie's season. I think my brain melted at that point because all I could do was whisper, Hunter, in shock. He was tall and even better looking in person. He was also very nice and took a pic with me while I tried to keep it cool. He mentioned he really likes Joey, and it sounds like he and Katie still keep in touch. In sharing my Hunter story with my coworker, I learned that her dad is in the final interviews for the Golden Bachelorette. Wait, what? Okay, wait. So she met Hunter and she's telling her coworker like, oh, I just met this guy from The Bachelor. And her coworker says, my dad is in the final interviews to be a contestant on Leslie's season of The Golden Bachelor.
Oh, interesting.
Wait, please submit her. Please write us again. We want to hear more from your friend. Yeah. Obviously, and her dad.
Yeah. For sure.
Interesting. I wonder if the dad would have any insight into like, not like they honestly, we've heard them lie to contestants before about who the lead can be.
Right.
But I do wonder if like a lot of the questions are maybe tailored towards something.
Yeah, like tailored towards Leslie specifically.
Or yeah, like a lot of people say they get the vibe of who it could potentially be, but I also don't think it's foolproof because they all thought it was going to be Peter when it was Ari. And so, yeah. Okay. Last one. I have a Bachelor in the Wild moment for you. I'm from Colorado, and in 2019, I went to an event in Denver where some of the Colorado Bachelor men were in attendance. I met Ben Higgins, Blake Horseman, and Chase McNary. They all three were so nice and gracious. They just chatted with my husband and I like normal people. They didn't act pretentious at all and happily obliged when I asked for a picture. And I might add, they are all extra tall and extra attractive in person. The only disappointment I had was that Colton Underwood wasn't there. Since he's from Denver too, I've always wanted to meet him. What is this? Like, they're just in Colorado and... Oh, it's an event. It's an event in Denver. Okay.
What kind of event?
Why were they all there though? Three people from The Bachelor?
Right.
Seems
like,
weird.
Wasn't a Bachelor themed event. Yeah.
Right. And like, why did you expect Colton to be there? We need more information on this because there's three Bachelor people and you're mad that Colton wasn't there.
Maybe it actually was a Bachelor event.
Right.
Though.
Yeah. Why do you think he should have been there?
Right.
I don't just go to events expecting to see Colton Underwood. So clearly there was a reason why you thought he would be there.
Right.
So
let us know.
All right. Well, those are all the Bachelor Encounters we have for this week. I get a lot of DMs of people asking me how to submit Bachelor Encounters, and I literally write back and I'm like, you're doing it right now. Just DM me at She's All Batch and send the story. But I will say the more details, the better.
You know, we love the details.
Yeah. So. And if you've ever heard us read a Bachelor Encounter, then you know what we're looking for. So don't just tell me you met Blake on the street. Tell me what he was wearing. Tell me if his shoes were tied. Like, we need to hear the details.
Of course.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I am in therapy, but I know firsthand that the hardest thing to do is to get started with therapy. It's a very daunting experience.
No, I totally agree. BetterHelp is entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So basically what you do is you just fill out a brief questionnaire and then they match you with a licensed therapist that specializes in whatever issues you are looking to unpack and discuss in therapy. And you can also switch therapists at any time for no additional charge, which is kind of great because I think I've been to so many therapists in my life and you either vibe or you don't. And I think you're only going to have success in therapy if you are working with someone who you really like and feel a connection with. Yeah. So no hard feelings. If the first person that you get is maybe not the right therapist for you, you can very easily change until you find someone that's great.
Yeah. And we can all do things to better our mental health. You can learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. So if you want to check them out, you can go to betterhelp.com. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/She's All Batch. And that's going to get you 10% off your first month of therapy. That's BetterHelp.com/She's All Batch. All right. It is time to recap Sex Week. We are finally at Fantasy Suites. This happened really quickly.
Wait, it's so crazy to hear you say Sex Week because no one said that this whole episode. I actually forgot that that's what they called it. Like, no, because they're not really pitching it like that. Like, it's so weird. For Zach's season, they were like, Sex Week, Sex Week, Sex Week. Like, they have t-shirts made. And then this time around, no one said anything about sexual intercourse, quite frankly, like at all.
It was kind of like they needed a little bit for Zach to get through that week, but...
True.
I mean, it's not like Sex Week was a thing before Zach's season. Like, I've never heard that term before that season. It's just funny that, like, it was such a big deal that season. And then, yeah, in comparison, it doesn't even come up.
So weird. What did you think of this episode? Because I was kind of, like, I'll just be honest, I was disappointed that, like, they started with, like, the cold open of the whole elevator thing. And I thought we were at least going to get more of that. Like, we didn't even hear... what was going on with that till literally I wrote it down 9:57. And I'm like, really? At 9:57 is when you're going to finally bring in the drama of the episode when we have 3 minutes left? They pitched it as if we would get it at like 9:38, you know?
At least 9:50.
At
you know,
least
give us something. No, it actually is funny when the episode starts, it does this opener with Joey getting the note. And I'm so naive for a split second. I literally thought, fuck yeah, waste no time. Let's get right into the drama. I was so pumped. And then, of course, it cuts. And I'm like, oh, damn it.
It's
you
okay.
Did it again.
I got the same thing, honestly. I wrote down my first note. Okay, we're opening with good elevator footage. So I also fell for the trap.
But it's been every single episode. I don't know how I didn't realize that was going to be the case this time around, but...
Yeah, well, you win some, you lose some.
Seriously.
You win a few, you lose a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm. We learn this episode just how crushed Joey was from Charity. Obviously, we knew he was heartbroken, but the level in which he speaks about their relationship is much higher. higher than I realized. Like him saying, like he thought fully it was him. Like he thought he had it in the bag. He thought he was getting engaged.
Which is just so crazy because I'm like, dude, we did not think that.
Yeah. What did you see that we didn't see? Well, not about her, but like how did you think that you were the one and it wasn't Dalton? Because it was Dalton all the time.
Yeah. Like it was always going to be Dalton. The fact that he's like, no, it could have maybe been me. I'm like, really? Like says who?
Yeah.
Not me. Not Charity. Not the audience.
So we start off, Rachel kicks off the first date this episode. But first she is joined by our girl, Susan. Because Susan needs to come on our screens once again.
I will say before that, I think they had like in the commercial break, Golden Bachelorette like casting and stuff. And so I'm like, oh, okay, guys, it's all happening. Yeah. So it's like really happening. Do you think that these three golden ladies were like, they were trying to test the waters to see who gets the best audience response?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they were given enough of an opportunity for audience response. Like they were really not on the show all that much, but I think it's very telling the three they chose. I think these are the three contenders for Golden Bachelorette. I don't think any of the other ladies are actually in the running. As much as you guys love to bring up Joan, which she's a lovely lady, I just think she's way too far removed to really be considered. I think it's these three. And then I think obviously it's Leslie.
Well, yeah, I would obviously think it's Leslie. But like, what's the deal with Sandra then? Because like, I feel like it really is actually between Leslie and Susan. I don't think Sandra like had as much of like a storyline, honestly.
No, and I really like her and I think the audience really likes her. Out of the three of them, I don't think she's as in the running as the other two.
Yeah, like I would put Kathy and Joan ahead of Sandra for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get why wouldn't they bring back Teresa or like Teresa and Gary?
Well, because Teresa's like married to Gary.
Yeah, I don't know. One of them is going to get engaged. I just felt like they usually hype up the past couple so much. And then this season, maybe it's because it's going to be the Golden Bachelorette. So they want to bring back like potential contenders. I did see a good take on Twitter. Someone's like, you know, the fact that Leslie seems so jaded still by Gary, it's not the best look for a bachelorette. Like what was she saying?
You know, I mean, she talks a lot about like not being chosen and kind of how that affected her. I honestly made a note to say that I actually think they were giving Susan a real like bachelorette setup monologue, like when she was talking about like, you know, she's learned her self-worth and how she's learned that like she's the prize. I'm like, that sounds like things a Golden Bachelorette would say.
Yeah. I mean, I would be happy with Susan all day. Susan to me is Maria to the regular franchise. So if they did a Maria and then a Susan,
the personality would be oozing out of the television.
I mean, I think they would be really pleased with their ratings.
I think so. Yeah, but they always choose the wrong people. So I feel like they're going to pick, I don't even know, my grandma.
Yeah. Is she looking to find love on TV?
No, I think she's over it. She's kind of old now. No offense, grandma.
Well, back to Rachel on this date. So she gets comforted by Susan. While I do think it's a little extra bringing these ladies back again because it's been so much.
Yeah.
I would want nothing more than to be comforted by Susan. Like the fact that Rachel got to sit down with Susan and just like vent to her, open up to her, have that one-on-one connection. I feel like if I had a bad day, I would want to sit with Susan on the couch with wine and just like talk to her. I feel like she should be a therapist.
That's a very attainable goal for you.
But it's not, Jackie, because I've been saying this for months and it hasn't
happened. I know, but like, don't you think maybe one day we'll have Susan on the podcast and then
not if ABC has anything to do with it.
Well, I know. And if she's the Golden Bachelorette, then forget about it. We're not getting Susan for like 5 years. But I don't know. I feel like you could have a moment with her if they pick Leslie, I think we could have a moment with Susan and then be like, Susan, we also want to make a Patreon video of you teaching us how to cook chicken piccata.
Although you could just teach me how to cook chicken piccata because you know.
I do know, but like I don't know Susan's recipe. Right.
I'm sure she probably has some secret ingredients.
Yeah, exactly. Krabby Patty special formula.
Right. Yeah. Back to Rachel again.
I felt bad when she almost broke her jaw.
Yeah,
are the producers putting her in a position where she could potentially break her jaw? Did no one vet this activity? Like, I just don't understand.
How did it really happen? Like, did she just hit the water and, like, hit her face into the water?
Like, from jumping so high up, like, you know how, like, if you hit it the wrong way, like, from a diving board, like, it just hurts? I thought that because they were so high up, she hit it maybe slightly wrong and it like messed up her jaw.
Yeah. No, she was in a lot of pain and I felt her stress because like, dude, you're on TV. Not only that, you're dating this guy that you really do want this time with. And now like your injury is going to get in the way of that. So you want to just pretend like it's fine, but you can't because the remainder of your time is going to be really painful with him. I think the silver lining though, Rachel, is going to the hospital with Joey is probably a way better way to get to know him versus what you guys were doing anyway. I feel like those real life dates really show you what a person is like versus these stupid fluff ass dates. Obviously, yeah, not like the
how
fantasy
he handles
suites.
A crisis and
yeah,
stuff.
Or just like sitting in a waiting room. Like there was no,
true.
Were there cameras in, it's not like we saw their entire time in the hospital. I'm sure there were times where they had like off camera time in the hospital for like, I don't know, legal reasons or like medical reasons.
Yeah.
And having that time with Joey to see who he really is when like he's not being the bachelor, I think is really valuable.
True. I mean, I feel like she did not see it that way and was definitely really bummed and I felt bad.
Yeah, I don't think I would be as optimistic either if I were in her shoes. I'm just trying to shed some positivity on the experience because I know it's not ideal.
No, I know. But I feel like it's unfortunate because I feel like when Joey looks back at all of the dates, well, I agree with you. Like that real world experience with someone speaks way louder than like these manufactured dates. I feel like Joey's going to look back though and be like, which two dates were the most magical time? And he's not going to pick Rachel because of that, unfortunately. Yeah.
I mean, it was really lucky though that she got out with enough time to do the dinner and the overnight because she could have very well stayed. Also, they did all like the x-rays and nothing was wrong. So what was it? Like, did it just like pop out or something? Like, how
is
it? I
have no idea. I was wondering if it was just like really bruised or like it just like really hurt.
Yeah.
You know, when you like hit something and like, I don't know, I feel like I've done this with like my fingers before. You like jam it in something and you think you have a broken finger, but like you don't.
Totally. So, I mean, it's good that it wasn't that she didn't actually have a broken jaw.
A broken jaw feels like a very, very difficult recovery. You have to be like full on Regina George with a little like headgear thing.
Yeah. And do you think if she actually broke her jaw, would she just go home?
I think.
Because she can't do like the confessionals. She can't kiss Joey. She can't, there's like, yeah. Literally, what can you even do?
Can you even talk if you break your jaw? I don't even know what breaking your jaw like entails, but.
Well, she could barely talk and she didn't break her jaw. When the doctor was like, can you open your mouth? And she's like, I am opening it. And she wasn't opening it. So, and that's her not breaking it. So yeah, I think if she broke her jaw, she'd have to go home. Crazy. Yeah. But she gets there in time for the nighttime portion and they have their dinner. She opens up about how she's been cheated on in past relationships and gets really emotional.
I empathize with Rachel in those moments. Did it kind of seem like to you, whenever Joey does like a voiceover type thing or if he's in an ITM, doesn't it sound like it's AI? Pretending to be Joey.
He's wait, like what?
He's like, a life with Rachel would be so beautiful. Or he said it at another point in the beginning of the episode. He's like, I have strong feelings for all of them. It's either AI or he's just like reading a teleprompter. Like it just did not feel like natural, normal Joey. And I feel like all his ITMs were like that this episode, but only this episode, which was really weird.
That's interesting that you said that because I actually made a note
about AI. AI is just on the brain this week.
No, not AI.
Oh.
I wrote, why does Joey always sound like a travel tour guide when he's talking to the girls about their date? He's like, all right, are we ready to see what we're doing today? Any guesses? Are we excited? He said it to all three girls that way. And I'm like, what? Are you like the guy that drives the monorail at Disney saying like, okay, and we're headed here to your left. This is where Mickey Mouse met Minnie for the first time.
Yes, exactly. Aw, I like that career path for Joey. He
would be great. It's always a guessing game. Like, what is it about this show that you always have to guess what you're doing? Well, just fucking tell me. You made me dress in like a sports outfit. Like, tell me what we're doing. Are we riding quads? Are we jumping out of an airplane? Just like, let me know. I'm going to find out in 5 minutes anyway.
I know, but they want that authentic reaction. They want to really like make you wonder and ponder, and then you're so surprised.
So the morning after with Rachel, Joey says that he saw a different side of her. They definitely seem like really cutesy together. I just don't think she's the one for him, and I don't think he's the one for her either. I think they are people that probably if they met in real life, they would have dated, but I don't think they're each other's person.
I agree with that. I think it's just, it's, and it's not even anything against Rachel. It's just that it just seems like his feelings are stronger with Kelsey and Daisy. Also too, I kind of was trying to clock this. He said he's falling in love with Kelsey and Daisy. Did he say that to Rachel?
I don't think so.
That he's falling? Okay. Okay. Thank you. My notes were correct then, because I was trying to make note of all the wordings of all the things. And she's the only one he didn't say he was falling for. So like, that's to me very telling.
Well, can we talk about the Joey confessions this episode? Because I actually thought it was a little crazy that he said almost the exact same thing to Kelsey and Daisy. So when he said it to Kelsey, it was the first time we're hearing him say it. And I was like, this is beautiful. Oh my gosh. He says, I'm falling in love with you fully. Felt it for a while. I have no doubts. When he said it to Daisy, he said, he's falling in love with her. It's been building for a while. Not a doubt in his mind. It's like, if I were Kelsey or Daisy watching that back, whoever he's with, I would be like, dude, you literally. And I think in his mind, he thinks because he didn't say I love you, it's fair game. Like, he gets a pass because of the stupid semantics. But you are saying something really, really powerful to both women. And in this case, you said it in almost the exact same way.
Yeah.
You've been feeling it for a while. Not a doubt in your mind. The only thing different now that looking at my notes, he said fully with Kelsey. He didn't say fully with Daisy. And I think that these words mean they carry a lot of weight on this show.
No, they definitely do. Do you think he's going to save the I love you for his gal?
Yes. And I think that's their way of like making themselves feel okay with making these grand gestures to people.
Yeah. I wish I paid more attention to like exactly what the shot was when he was saying these exact words, because I wonder if maybe he only is saying that about one person, but they're cutting it together to make it look like he's saying similar things about both. Because I could also see that as like a solid defense for him down the line with whoever he's with. They're watching it back and he's like, no, babe, I was totally talking about you the whole time. They just franken bit me. So like, we never really know who he's talking about when he says these like, oh, I'm falling things.
Well, when he said it to her, when they're the actual date, I'm pretty sure we did see him say it at the date. Like it wasn't like a confessional or anything, but I do. It's speaking of like the frankenbiting thing. Caitlin Bristow said that all the time when she was like trying to save her relationship with Sean, because he would get upset about the Nick edit. She said that a lot of stuff she said in confessionals that were about Sean, all they have to do is just put it over a scene of her and Nick. And you think she's talking about Nick, just cut out the name. So it can happen.
No, I
think in this case though, he did say it, but I'll have to look at the tapes again.
Roll the tapes.
I will. Yeah. Moving on to Kelsey.
I think it was really weird to me that, and I guess at the end of the day, like someone has to be paired with Leslie. So like it is what it is, but you know, they're like strategically pairing people together. And the fact that they specifically chose Kelsey to be with Leslie, and Leslie saying things like, I was in a similar position, I wasn't chosen, like you always have to think in the back of your mind, like, what if it's not you type thing. I just think like that's obviously a very strategic choice. I don't know if they were trying to get in Kelsey's head to make her think potentially that she would be second so that she spirals with the little letter like we saw, or if they genuinely think this is where she's going to place and they're trying to foreshadow it by connecting her with Leslie.
Yeah, no, that's a really good take that they were trying to get in her head, because it does end up working.
Yeah.
And she then writes him the note and we'll see what happens next week. I said that last week that I thought it was weird that anyone gets paired with Leslie, because the take that Leslie was having was the runner-up and how difficult it is to be the runner-up. And one of these three girls is going to be the runner-up. But at this time, even when they're filming it, it's not like production knows either. So they just took a shot in the dark and they're like, hopefully we can get something out of Kelsey for this.
Yeah, so maybe they were just trying to like rattle her. Because also too, like Leslie doesn't have to take that position. You know what I mean? Like she could just go in and talk more generally like about her experience and about falling in love. And like she's choosing words that push buttons in someone who might be feeling a little bit insecure about potentially coming in second.
Right.
She doesn't have to say that, you know?
Going back to the Golden Bachelorette thing though, and what that take was that I saw on Twitter, I mean, she brings up how like the stuff Gary told her behind closed doors made her confident and that she was completely devastated by it. You're very angry about it still, which in real life, I think is totally reasonable. I don't think that that's anything that's abnormal. But in Bachelorette world, I feel like they expect you to move on and be open to love again. And she wasn't giving someone that is necessarily open. She was coming off like someone that's very upset by how it went down, which I understand, but again.
But do you think they were telling her to play that up?
Maybe, yeah.
In order to just kind of like stir the pot a little bit?
It was interesting advice though. It's like, if you feel confident and if he's making you feel like you're the one, just always keep in mind that you may not be the one.
It's like intentionally trying to shake her up. And maybe up until this point, they felt that Kelsey was like very solid and very confident in where she was going to be. And they were like, all right, let's throw a wrench in this. Otherwise we might have a more boring ending or whatever it is. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, without that note and the whole speculation of like one who the note was going to be and like how Joey was going to react, the episode was pretty tame. Bland. I feel like that's what really got it going. So maybe it was strategic. Mm-hmm. I actually, after seeing it was Susan, then it was Leslie, I was like, who are they going to choose for Daisy? And then when it was Sandra, I was like, oh, okay, interesting. Like, I don't know how they were. Maybe they just wanted the three people from Golden Bachelorette to talk to the three finalists. And it didn't actually matter who went with who.
I don't know. I do think like the Leslie and Kelsey made sense in the pairing. Yeah, the Sandra and Daisy pairing was very strange.
Only because Sandra wasn't like in the top four. Sandra was a standout person on the show because fans loved her and she's so funny. But I feel like Daisy is so much further along in her relationship with Joey than Sandra ever was with Gary.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then in the Susan case of it all, like Susan was very much saying to Rachel, like, you know, I learned my self-worth and I learned I'm the prize. And it was almost kind of setting up Rachel for like an inevitable breakup and being able to just like move forward and being like, oh, well, it's his loss, blah, blah, blah. So like the Sandra of it all is weird.
I don't know. I mean, I think overall, though, this Kelsey date solidified their relationship way more than we've seen. Do you finally get the connection now or are you still not feeling it?
I'm starting to see it a little bit more. I did kind of clock things that Joey was saying. Like he said, like, there's a real love building between Kelsey and I, which I thought was a very strong statement. Mm-hmm. And she flat out is saying like she like loves him. So I did see their connection a wee bit more this time around.
Yeah.
But I'm still not sold.
That's crazy.
That's crazy that I'm not sold?
Yeah. Because I think it's
you're sold?
Yeah. I think it's very obvious. And she's just like, I don't know if it's her getting more screen time or what, but she just is, I feel like we're seeing so much more of her. Like,
but what about Daisy? I know, like, we're seeing more of her, but, like, what about Daisy?
I can talk nicely about Kelsey and not have it mean anything bad about Daisy.
No, I don't even mean, like, nice or not nice. I just mean, like, as far as, like, connection with Joey, like, I think Daisy and Kelsey's look pretty neck and neck to me.
Yeah.
But you're saying it's, like, obvious Kelsey.
I just think it's not unobvious. It's okay. Not like, well, because you were like, I don't see it at all with Kelsey. I think that's crazy.
Well, no, today I see it more. Yeah. Last week I did not see it at all. Now I see it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I'm still like, her and Daisy, I feel like, are neck and neck.
I think so too. Yeah, at this point from what we're seeing on the show. So Daisy then meets with Sandra. I thought her advice was funny. Obviously, she's like, keep positive thoughts, like keep the other girls out of your mind, which I thought was interesting because it was like polar opposite to Leslie's advice. Mm-hmm. Leslie's like, it probably won't be you, girl, so don't get your hopes up. Sandra wanted Daisy to be a little more positive. She also kind of like low-key encourages her to like dirty talk with Joey, question mark.
Wait, how did she encourage it?
She said that you should say like, oh, let's practice making babies.
Scandal.
Did you go to the bathroom?
Maybe. I don't think she should say that to Joey. Hot well, we take. Did. Maybe we that's hot, see. Lukewarm, cold. I know, but I just like, I don't think in general, girls, that's like a good way to approach a man.
Mm.
To say, let's practice making babies. I think you should leave like a little bit of coyness to the situation. Play it cool. You know what I mean? Be like, oh, you want to make babies? I don't even care. Like, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't get what you're saying.
Like, to be so explicitly be like, oh, let's practice making
babies. Oh, like, we're going to fuck.
Right, right. As opposed to being, like, more spontaneous and aloof and, like...
Oh, yeah. Leave a little mystery.
Like, right. Seem like you're not planning to do that. Mm. You know?
Right.
Like, oh, it's so spontaneous. It just... happened to be happening.
Just fell on your dick.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oopsies.
So I think Sandra's advice did inspire Daisy, though, because when she, like, meets with Joey and they, like, see each other, he's like, hey, guess what we're doing? Welcome, everybody. We're about to go on a tour. And then he's like, okay, we're going to go ride quads. And Daisy's like, okay, hold on a second. And she grabs him and she gives him that extra long kiss. And I think it was Sandra in her head being like, you know, just like spice things up a notch. It is sex week after all.
Yeah. I just don't know if that's like the best strategy. Like, I don't think the sex for anyone is going to change Joey's mind. You know what I mean?
It did for Gary. Never
forget. We don't know. You don't think it was their deep conversations?
No, it was because Teresa whipped out the reverse cowgirl.
And the long sleeve bathing
suit. Yes. Yes.
No, I don't know. But they, you know what do they say? That like women fall in love through sex, but men don't.
Do they say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they, somewhere out on the streets.
Someone say said that. It once. Okay.
Well, just that like, I feel like as women, we're trying to like build a relationship off of that because that's like very intimate for us. But I feel like guys are so not emotional about it that like you can really put it all out there. Like, and Daisy can give an amazing makeout and like have the most amazing time in the fantasy suite. But if he's not feeling it like emotionally, I don't think like anything sexual is going to change that.
Mm, I could see that. Daisy seemed very happy the next morning. You could just tell with the conversation, the wording that they used to describe things that happened, like... You can tell when they had a long night of talking and a long night of other stuff.
Okay, so who had a long night of talking and who had a long night of other stuff?
I mean, I think it's obvious, no? I think Daisy and Kelsey had a long night of other stuff.
And not Rachel.
To me, it didn't come screaming at me that that was the case. Mm-hmm. Also, her jaw probably hurt. How much can, like, you really go nuts in the sack? No BJs for sure.
I know. I was about to be like, your jaw's already hurting. Oh, no.
But I don't know. I mean, who knows? Maybe he didn't do it with anyone. But just, I think they purposely show those conversations the next morning. Like, I love when they show, like, the shoes thrown about and, like, a dress, like, draped over a chair. Like, they're purposely trying to make you wonder.
I wonder if, like, conversations about that will come out later on in the next few episodes or if they'll keep it quiet.
I don't know. I feel like normal seasons keep it quiet. It was, like, Zach's season that made it such a freaking spectacle.
Yeah, or Clayton's, too. I feel like the past few seasons have been more... Peter Weber's season, even. Hannah Brown. They have been more open in the past few seasons about discussing that.
What did Peter say? Oh, because he told Maddie that he was intimate.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily what I mean, though. Like, talking about intimacy is fine. It's the outward, like, we're going to have sex conversations.
Yeah, but to me, that's the same conversation. Like, saying you're intimate and saying we're having sex is, like, the same picture.
I think there's a level of bluntness in calling it sex week versus saying I was intimate with someone. Because, like, intimate also is subjective. Like, intimate could be kissing, but it's up to the...
Yeah, but I don't think that's what Peter meant.
I don't think it is either. But...
You saw that hand on the bathroom door in the hotel.
Oh, my God. Remember? I forgot about that. It's like...
So Titanic-esque.
I was just going to say. I'm like, what movie is that? Titanic, yeah.
All right. And then they gave us the only drama of the episode at 9:57 p.m.
Yeah. So Kelsey says she's feeling confident, but Lightbulb, the last person that told me, if I'm feeling confident, immediately start to panic. And that is what Leslie told her. So now in turn, she's stressing out because why am I feeling so confident? That must mean something's wrong.
Do you think there's really going to be an issue here?
No.
Or it's going to be like, we need to talk. And then they talk and then it's like, all right, love you. Bye.
You know what I think it's going to be? It's going to say, we need to talk. They're going to meet. And she's going to say, if you know it's not me, I really want to go home. Because she does say, I would rather leave now than have my heart completely broken. So she's clearly worrying that she could have her heart completely broken. So she's going to say something along the lines of like, if you have any doubts at all, please tell me now. And he's going to say, I don't have any doubts. And she's going to say, okay. And then that's it.
Yeah. I feel like it might even be less explicit than that. Well, she'll just be like, I've just been having a hard time. I really wanted to like spend more time with you. And he's like, okay. And then they spend the evening and then she leaves.
But she explicitly says, I would rather leave now than have my heart broken. Yeah. So makes me feel like it could be something like that. I did question at first, like, did she not sign her name on the note? Because in all the, like, the promos, we don't see a name, obviously, because we don't know who wrote it. But then we finally see the full note, and she does sign the name. So he's not...
Well, that would be very silly if she was just like, Joey, we need to talk, and doesn't sign her name. How's he supposed to know?
Well, when we were first seeing the note and we didn't see the name, I assumed it was literally just a note card that said we needed to talk. And he wasn't going to know. Wait, something else that I clocked? When Kelsey says, I went to Joey's room and he wasn't there, that is production fucking with her. Production knows where Joey is 24 hours a day. Yeah, so when she's going and knocking on his door, they know he's not there. Why not just send her to where Joey is?
Right.
Because they wanted her to write the note.
I feel like they're literally doing everything to get Kelsey to spiral. Between the Leslie stuff and this whole thing with the door. I don't know. It's not nice.
Yeah, he wasn't at his door. And Leslie told me not to be confident. So I'm just going to spiral.
I know. Well, they probably saw a little crack. They saw some sort of insecurity. And they're like, all right, let's shoot this one open.
Yeah.
Aw, it makes me sad. It's so evil.
Yeah, well, they're like, we that's what we needed to do to get some drama. It was a huge focal point.
Well, I was about to say, if you're going to be evil to get a dramatic television show, then, like, get a dramatic television show. Don't give me the most dramatic part at 9:57 p.m. Mm.
It's giving. We're going to give someone a card, an envelope, and you can open it in 4 months. That's the vibe I'm like, getting here.
Right. Like, guys, get real.
Yeah. Don't show me a card that says we need to talk, and then don't tell me what happens.
I know. Do you think the producers of the show, like, see other shows like Traitors and are like, damn, we got to step it up? Because there are so many, or even Love is Blind, I feel like there's so many other things that are so much more, like, authentic and shocking and cool and good. Mm. And I'm like, why don't they try to do something along the lines of that? I know it's not obviously the same show, but, like, shock me a little, surprise me. Mm-hmm. Give me something a little spicy. I don't know.
Well, are you not shocked that it wasn't Jesse Palmer saying, like, Joey, we have your sandwich for you? Because you were thinking it was going to be literally like, Joey. Yeah. Your wake-up call tomorrow is 6:45.
Right. Where was Jesse Palmer? We didn't see him once. Where is that man?
I don't know. Well,
where's Jesse Palmer and where's Kate Middleton?
Oh, my God. We're going to get into that, by the way. I know. This week's sound off, but
yeah,
crazy. I'm not even fully up to speed on the Kate Middleton. Like, I obviously saw the main photo. But I want to talk with you and educate myself a little bit more about where we are in this saga.
Great. I think Jesse Palmer and Kate Middleton are in the same place.
Probably getting a BBL together.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that was sex week. I mean,
It was not that sexy.
We will find out what Kelsey has to talk about with Joey, although I think it's very predictable. And then we'll be down to our final two, which I think I can confidently say is Daisy and Kelsey. Although I fucking love Rachel.
Me too.
And again, like we said last week, like in defense of all the hate that Rachel was getting, I was so upset like earlier today. And now this is like a week later after we spoke out about the hate and like all the hate she was getting. A full week later, she has on her stories today like, guys, please be kind. And please remember at the end of the day, I still am just a person behind this computer screen. And I'm like, Jesus, like that is so disturbing that someone even needs to still be say it at all, but still be saying it like a week later. At that point, like if someone's like begging you to stop and you keep going, you're a fucking bully, not her.
Agreed.
I'm not opening that up again because that topic stresses me out. But yeah, bullshit. Leave her the fuck alone. Okay. Yeah. Anyways.
Touch grass, roll in it.
Touch so many blades of grass. Slurp it up your nose.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm going to get... Did we even get into a room? Because I have to get out of it.
I actually don't think we went into the room for this. Oh, my God.
Ew.
Cancel it. Delete. Let's re-record this whole thing.
Okay, we're going to actually do this over. Okay. Hey, guys. So we're going to recap sex week. Imagine. Okay.
It's nice to take a little break from the room. I don't know. I was just feeling cozy in my own apartment. I didn't want to go to the room.
I know. I didn't want to travel. It's late.
Sometimes you just don't want to travel. Yeah.
And I'm sick. I don't know if you could tell in my voice.
Exactly, guys. Stephanie was sick, so we couldn't go to the recap room. They were like, ma'am, please stay home. We don't want your germs in here.
They're like, we have to follow protocol, and you are showing symptoms.
You need to quarantine.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to stay home and not go into the recap room. But it's okay, because luckily I can talk to Jackie digitally using technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love that for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I guess we'll just turn off the call then.
I was like, I guess I'll just hang up and move on. There's no room to get in or out of.
Yes. All right. Well, I'll see you in the outro.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Love you, XOXO.
Oh, Gossip Girl.
Gossip Girl.
And that is our show. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you like what you hear, definitely subscribe. Definitely give the show 5 stars. Definitely send the show to a friend.
Yeah, I think you should do all of those things. And then while you're at it, check out our Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/she'sallbatch. We do 2 bonus episodes per month. And you can also get these, at least 2 bonus episodes a month. You can also get these episodes a day early. And it's just like a fun time. Yeah, ad free when we get them early on Tuesdays. Check out our Facebook group. What else?
Also, you guys are loving our Sound Off series. Thank you for everyone that have submitted questions or topics. Mm-hmm. We're definitely going to keep that going. So be sure if you want to sound off about something, you can message either of us on Instagram. And we also put up question boxes prior to the recording of the episodes.
Yes. I got so many DMs over the weekend about the Kate Middleton photo. So can't wait to talk more.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely update more
on Friday. If you guys are interested in taking a little trip with me, fill out the survey for Tova Trip so we can kind of gauge how many people are interested and what types of places you guys would want to go to. I'm going, so you better come too.
You better be one of them, biatches.
Yeah, exactly.
And tomorrow we have a cool interview coming, so stay tuned. Make sure you're subscribed to She's All Batch so you never miss a drop. We're dropping Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Exactly.
So we'll see you guys tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Is that it?
I think that's it.
Goodbye, bitches.